It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
You're listening to LSU Daily with Matt Moscona, your home for all the latest Tiger news. Part of the Guarantee Podcast Network.
Okay, let's get it. It is LSU Daily. I'm your host, Matt Moscona. Glad to have you aboard with us here. LSU football creeping towards spring. We've got some updated staff changes. A receiver, transfer receiver, is out for spring football. We'll get to that. And a look ahead at this upcoming draft as it pertains to LSU with Mel Kiper's latest big board out, what it says about the LSU roster. We're going to get to that here shortly. LSU, couple of weeks from the start of spring football. We learned last week that Brian Polian was moving from his on-field role into an off-field role, and that left a vacancy among LSU's 10 full-time on-field positions, and that has now been filled. Shea Dixon and others reporting today that John Jancic is being promoted from his role as an analyst with LSU to a dual role on field as the outside linebackers coach, and he'll also have the title of special teams coordinator. In addition, Bob Diaco is also joining LSU's staff today, this year. Bob Diaco, you might remember, was on Brian Kelly's staff, was his defensive coordinator, then went and became the head coach at UConn, and has bounced around a little bit since then. So there's a lot I want to get to with respect to this conversation. First and foremost, my thought was, when I saw this news, is Brian Kelly is building his staff the way that Nick Saban did at Alabama, has recently, in that he is hoarding elite coaches. In the same way that, like, Steve Sarkisian was an analyst at Alabama, now the head guy who had been the head coach at Washington, USC, now the head coach at Texas, was an analyst at Alabama. Todd Grantham was an analyst at Alabama. Been the DC at Florida and Georgia and Mississippi State. He's now the Saints defensive line coach. Grantham was an analyst at Alabama. Butch Jones had been the head coach at Western Michigan and Cincinnati and Tennessee, analyst at Alabama. Right? Like, Nick would just go hoard great coaches and just have them on staff. And then when ultimately a job came open, oh, we need an offensive coordinator. Sark. Boom. There you go. So it looks like Brian Kelly is kind of doing the same thing here. Now, John Jancic and Brian Kelly have a long history together. Jancic played football at Grand Valley State when Brian Kelly was a young assistant. Jancic coached at Grand Valley State in the early 1990s. So they have they and their families, I know, have a very long history together. The Kellys, the Denbrocks, the Jancics all have ties with their families, have coached together and very close and have been for 30 years. So some skeptics may look at this and go, Brian Kelly's hiring his friends. Except that John Jancic is really accomplished. Like, John Jancic has been a defensive coordinator at places like Colorado State and Cincinnati, but also at Georgia and at Tennessee. Like, he was on staff at Georgia in 2021 when they won the national championship a year ago. Then Brian Kelly brought him to LSU. So this is a guy that is overqualified to be your outside linebackers coach, essentially, is the way to put it. Kind of like when Nick Saban hired Doug Marrone, that's right, former NFL head coach Doug Marrone to be his offensive line coach. You know what I mean? Like, John Jantic is overqualified to be the outside linebackers coach. So I'm great with that. You got a dude that's got a ton of experience, a ton of SEC experience, a guy that's coordinated defenses in the SEC, who's now coaching your outside linebackers. And Shea Dixon also noted that, and while we're waiting on a formal announcement from LSU, Shea did also note that Jantic will also hold the title of special teams coordinator. So he'll coach the outside linebackers and he'll be the special teams coordinator, but all indications are that it's kind of going to be a joint effort in coordinating the special teams unit, which kind of brings you to the other guy that they've added to staff, which is Bob Diaco. Now, again, follow me here with Bob Diaco. Bob Diaco has been the defensive coordinator at Purdue, at Cincinnati, at Nebraska, at Notre Dame. He's been the head coach at, he was the head coach at UConn. Bob Diaco won the Broyles Award as the best assistant in college football in 2012 when Notre Dame went to the BCS National Championship game, got blown out by Alabama. He was the defensive coordinator for that team, that Manti Te'o defense, that great team. So you've got a dude that, again, is supremely qualified. They added Bob Diaco as an analyst. So this is a guy who's been a head coach, who's been a defensive coordinator at major Power 5 programs, who's won the Broyles Award. He's an analyst on this staff now. You can kind of see what Brian Kelly's doing. He is stockpiling supremely talented and able coaches with vast amounts of experience. So if in the event that you move someone on staff or you lose someone, you've got someone on your support staff already ready to fill in that role. By the way, Bob Diaco is also coming on as an analyst who is going to help with the special teams as well. And he's got a lot of experience. He was a special teams coordinator from 1999 to 2004 at three different schools: Western Illinois, Eastern Michigan, and then Western Michigan. Then he went to Central Michigan. He was at all three. He was at Eastern Michigan, Western Michigan, Central Michigan, back to back to back. And then he was the co-DC at Central Michigan, then went to Virginia, where he was a special teams coordinator for 3 years, in 06, 7, 8. And then he went to Cincinnati and became a defensive coordinator, then defensive coordinator at Notre Dame. So basically stopped running special teams, but he became a defensive coordinator. So this is a guy that has a ton of collegiate special teams experience as well, but mostly has been a defensive coordinator and a head coach over the last 15 years. A couple of things that I'll say. So number one, I love adding John Jantic on the field and Bob Diaco to the staff. Two dudes who got a ton of experience, supremely accomplished. Their resumes speak for themselves. Awesome additions to the staff. No problem with that whatsoever. My one real legitimate concern is you don't necessarily have a dedicated special teams coordinator. Yes, that's John Jantic is going to have that title. But that's not the only thing he's doing. He's going to be coaching the outside linebackers, and he'll also have the title of special teams coordinator, but it sounds like the way that they're going to handle this, and we'll wait for Brian Kelly to give us some definitive, some definition to how it's all going to be handled whenever they get ready for spring football. But you know, John Jantic, who's been a coach for 30 years, has never been a special teams coach. So you're giving him that title, in essence, but that's not the thing he does. And this reminds me of 2017. Just hop in the way back machine with me and go back 6 years. But Ed Ogeron was the interim head coach in 2016. Ed did not like Bradley Dalpivitot. Maybe not personally, I don't want to say that, but Bradley Dalpivitot and special teams were a problem in 2016. And literally, Ed got hired on a Saturday. Sunday, he fired Bradley Dalpivitot. Literally the first thing he did was fire Pivitot. Well, in 2017, Ed didn't hire a special teams coordinator. Remember, they just divvied up the duties. And 2017 was atrocious. That's when they had Connor Culp and Jack Gonsolin, and neither guy really steadied his place kicker. You were rotating kickoff guys, kicking the ball out of bounds. You weren't great returning kicks. DJ Chark was your punt returner. Had some big moments, obviously, the Auburn, none bigger than the Auburn punt return that year, but you were very bad on special teams. And Greg, I want to say this because it's kind of a point of Bob Diaco being in an analyst role as a guy who's done a ton in special teams. Greg McMahon was on that 2017 LSU staff as an analyst. And they were so bad on special teams in 2017 that Ed moved Greg McMahon up to an on-field role as the special teams coordinator in 2018. And that was maybe the best decision he made. I mean, they were great under Greg McMahon in 18, 19, well, really until he left. So so that gives me a little bit of pause, a little cause for concern. So I love adding John Jancic on the field. I love adding Bob Diaco to the staff. That's no problem whatsoever. My concern is you were very bad at special teams. I know Shea printed this in his report. ESPN College Football Power Index efficiency rankings for special teams. LSU last year was 130th out of 131 teams. They were second to worst. That shouldn't come as a surprise. We all watched it. They were terrible. It's why you needed to make a change. What I would have liked to have seen was emphatically make this change with someone who is a very proficient, accomplished special teams coordinator to be better at that. So the good news for LSU, remember, all of your specialists return. Damian Ramos is back. Jay Bramblett is back. Your long snappers, your holders, like everybody's back. So you return all of your specialists, but that wasn't the issue. The issue was coordination of all of the units and coverage and kicking and all of the different nuance of special teams where LSU struggled. So they finished out the staff. You have your 10 full-time on-field assistants, and they'll divvy up special teams among a lot of different coaches, but Jancic will be the special teams coordinator. And fingers crossed, knock on wood, and hope that it's much better in 2023 because, boy, they were atrocious to watch all of last year.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
LSU is creeping towards spring football. And Shea Dixon had this report earlier today that wide receiver Aaron Anderson is going to miss spring football. He's working back to full strength following a knee injury. So if you don't remember, quick refresher on Aaron Anderson. He was a top 100 overall prospect in the country from Edna Carr in New Orleans, was an LSU commit. When Ed Ogeron got fired, he decommitted, ended up signing with Alabama, was there this year, injured his knee, didn't play. So sidelined during his freshman season and was the number 36 overall player in the country, the number 4 receiver in the country when he signed with Bama, entered the transfer portal, signed with LSU. He's continued to rehab that knee and work back toward full health and being able to play, but he's going to miss spring football. So I'm good with that, honestly. Like, obviously. Look, you would love to have guys be able to go through spring. You would love to have them get reps, especially the new guys, to get reps with Jaden Daniels, develop timing, all of that, of course. But it's just way more important for him to be healthy and ready to go in the spring. Like, for example, look at Shelton Sampson. Shelton Sampson's a 5-star receiver who, because he goes to Catholic, they don't allow any of their students to graduate early. So Shelton Sampson isn't going to be able to be here until the summer. So he'll go through summer workouts, and then whenever fall camp starts, he'll start, just like Aaron Anderson will now do. So, I don't worry about it so much. You know, that transition will happen for those guys at whatever rate it needs to happen. I'd more so look at the receiver spot for LSU. It kind of gave me a good excuse to look at the receivers and sort of assess that, considering you're losing Kayshon Booty, who, as much as we might look and say he had a disappointing junior year, and I understand that, given the expectations. You're coming off the injury and what we had all hoped. Kayshon was still your second leading receiver. 48 catches for 538 yards. I mean, that is a really solid season for a number two. It's just we had larger expectations. So you've got to replace Kayshon's production. Jure Jenkins had 27 catches for 404 yards. So he was your third leading receiver. And then Jack Besh, who Jack battled some injuries and playing and just all the stuff that we know how it went this year, and he transferred. Jack had 16 catches for 200 yards.
So you're replacing three really productive guys, talented, productive players. But you return Malik Nabers, who's your leading receiver a year ago, had 1,000 yards. And then Brian Thomas and Kyron Lacy, who were your fourth and fifth leading receivers. Again, not pass catchers. I'm not talking about pass catchers because Mason Taylor was third. And, you know, you had Josh Williams, who was in the mix as well. I'm talking about at the wide receiver position. So you went Malik Nabers, Kayshon Booty, Jeray Jenkins, Brian Thomas, Kyron Lacy, Jack Besh. That was your top six receivers. Well, number one is back, but you lose two and three, and you have four and five back. So, and you lose six. So the thought is, okay, is it realistic to think Brian Thomas as a junior could step up and replace Kayshon's production? I know they play a different position, different skill set, but Brian Thomas at 31 for 361. Is it realistic to think Brian Thomas could go from 31 catches to 48 catches? Yeah, of course, with the targets and all there. So Brian Thomas steps up and replaces Kayshon's production. Is it realistic to think Kyron Lacy, who had 24 catches for 268, could replace Jeray Jenkins, who was at 27 for 404? Yeah, I mean, he's basically there as far as the number of receptions anyway. Just talking about receiving yards. So, I mean, there you've got three really good receivers, but what we've seen, and you know Mason Taylor is back, and you're going to work in the running backs. Well, but really the question is, what about in Brian Kelly's offense and Mike Denbrock's offense? Who are going to be 4, 5, and 6? You feel really good about your first three receivers. You feel good about Nabers and Thomas and Kyron Lacy. Who emerges as 4, 5, and 6? Who situationally becomes your deep threat? Who becomes the guy that takes pressure off of Kyron Lacy, off of Malik Nabers? And that's where I'm interested in seeing the guys in spring. Chris Hilton coming off of injury. He's got game-breaking ability. He's got the speed. Coming off of injury, how does he do? Aaron Anderson's in that mold as well. Not going to participate in spring. Landon Ibieta is a guy who was injured all of last year. We didn't really see him to the bowl game. He had a couple of catches in the bowl game. They're very optimistic on Landon Ibieta. And then the guys who are coming in. Jaylen Brown, Shelton Sampson, who we mentioned. You know, Kyle Parker, Kai Prion. There's Aaron Anderson. You got a good group of guys to see who is going to step up and emerge. Some who have been here. I mentioned Hilton and Ibieta. Some who are coming in, if it's Anderson or Shelton Sampson or Jaylen Brown, the guys who are most likely to take that. But that's going to be one of the really exciting things to watch in this offense. You got your quarterback returning. You got your offensive line returning. You've got your starting tight end returning. You've got your best receiver back. You've got all of your running backs returning as well. Who are going to be the supplemental pieces in that offense at receiver that step up? And that's going to be fun to watch during spring and then also throughout fall camp as well. See who those guys are that are going to take some of those targets and help LSU develop that depth at the receiver position.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
In my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I want to get into the... Here it is. Thank you. So, Mel Kiper today did put out a mock draft. He also updated his big board. And the big board, if you're not familiar, is the top 25 overall prospects. Not a mock draft. It's just ranking the top 25 prospects in the draft, and then the top 10 by position. And this really, really was startling for me today. So, not surprisingly, Kiper does not have anyone in the top 25 overall. I don't think we expected that. B.J. Ojulari, Kayshon Booty were the two players who had a possibility of being there this year. Not surprising that neither are. So, as Kiper goes through his top 10 at each position, no quarterbacks, no running backs, no fullbacks. That's not surprising. There wouldn't be anyone in the running there. He does have Kayshon Booty as the 9th best receiver in this year's draft. So Zay Flowers, who we mentioned from Boston College, Jackson Smith and Jigba, Quentin Johnson, Jordan Addison, Jalen Hyatt, Jaden Reed from Michigan State, Josh Downs, Cedric Tillman, and then Kayshon Booty. So Booty, the ninth best receiver. No tight ends. No offensive tackles. No offensive guards. So meaning Anthony Bradford, not in the top 10. No centers. He's got B.J. Ojulari as the fifth best defensive end, but no Ali Gay. And he even lists, you know, under the just missed, players maybe just missed being in the top 10. No Ali Gay. Defensive tackles. No Jaquelin Roy. Inside linebackers. No Micah Baskerville. No outside linebackers. No cornerbacks. No safeties. Meaning no Jarque Bernard Converse, no Mekhi Gardner, no Jay Ward. Going position by position, ranking the top 10 and those who just missed the cut, at every position on the field, Mel Kiper has two LSU players. Kayshon Booty, B.J. Ojulari. That's it. Now, nine LSU players are invited to the combine. And all nine of them have a chance to get drafted. Kayshon Booty, B.J. Ojulari, Ali Gay, Jay Ward, Jaquelin Roy, Jerae Jenkins, Micah Baskerville, Mekhi Gardner, Anthony Bradford. All nine of those guys have a chance to be drafted. And Jarque Bernard Converse, I think, has a chance to be drafted as well. So you could see the number of drafted players from LSU actually look pretty respectable this year. But I was thinking about this earlier. In years where LSU maybe had a down draft year, what did that say about the team the following year? And this does make sense to say when you have a light draft year, typically that means you had a lot of guys stay in school, and so you had a good year following. Glaring example would have been the 2019 draft. So the 2019 draft would have been after the 2018 season and before the 2019 season. LSU had three players taken in that draft. Three. Devin White, Greedy Williams, Foster Moreau. That was it. Three. And they followed that up with the best season in the history of college football. The 2016 draft had only five players taken and did not have a first rounder. The reason I bring that up is because the 2016 season, we'll all remember 2016 for when Ed Orgeron took over as an interim when Les Miles got fired four games into the season. What most people forget about that draft, about that team, is everybody came back. LSU won the Texas Bowl against Patrick Mahomes and Texas Tech in 2015, and everybody came back in 2016. Ethan Posick came back. Tre'Davious White came back. You had Devon Gottschall. You had Arden Key. Kendall Beckwith came back for a senior season. Duke Riley was back for a senior season. That was a loaded team. People forget how loaded 2016 was. I mean, Will Clapp, Ethan Posick, Maya Tehuma, who was a five-star. I mean, your receivers were DJ Chark and Malachi Dupree. Russell Gage was your number three on that team. Your running backs were Fournette, Geist, Darrell Williams. I mean, you were loaded on that team. All those guys chose to come back. Now, this is a little different because you lost a lot of guys to the draft. I mean, it's disappointing losing Jaquelin Roy early. It's disappointing seeing Anthony Bradford go. Nobody's surprised about B.J. Ojulari or Ali Gay, but the difference, though, I think, is how they've been able, with the transfer portal, to stockpile the roster and the guys that you do have coming back, because you do return a ton of talent. And not necessarily guys who were draft eligible who chose to come back, underclassmen who played very well for you, and then in spots, you've been able to improve. But my point is, there is a history to suggest that when you have a weak draft, the following year tends to be a good season because you had a lot of guys choose to stay. We'll see if that's the case for LSU this year. Again, Mel Kiper, just two players among his top 10 at any position on his billboard, on his big board. Kayshon Boutte, the ninth best receiver. B.J. Ojulari, the fifth best defensive end.
Okay, that'll do it for us here on a Wednesday edition of LSU Daily. If you haven't done so yet, please subscribe up on your favorite podcast app. Rate us. Leave a review on iTunes. Let a friend know if they love the Tigers. We got you here every weekday for 30 minutes or less talking all things LSU. Until next time, this is LSU Daily from the Guarantee Podcast Network.